The scripture reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, page 977, following in the church Bible, and we'll read from verse 14 to verse 21. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, for spiritual strength and knowledge. So that's Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 14.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. You've been hearing a little bit already this morning about some of the things that went on over the last week at Holiday Club. And alongside some of these things, we also had one thing that we did each day was a memory verse. We were trying to get the young guys to remember this verse as the week went on. Probably the one thing more difficult than getting the kids to learn it was getting the leaders to learn it. But finally, by the end of the week, I think we were just about there with the help of some actions, which I'll spare you from. But our memory verse was this. We read it earlier. We read that whole section. It's just going to come up on the screen there. We read that section. But this verse, we use this translation with the young guys there. And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. How wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. A great verse, and it was great seeing these young guys really kind of belting that out, seeing them be able to say it with their eyes closed, say it without reading, and brilliant words for them to know. And so I thought what we would do this morning is look at that verse in just a little bit more detail. We're just going to be brief this morning, but just to look at that verse in a bit more detail. That really was kind of the verse that set the agenda and set the theme for everything that we were trying to do with the young guys last week. And so hopefully we'll see just what it is. What's Paul saying here? Why is this such a good verse for those guys to remember? Why is it such a good verse for all of us to remember and to live in light of? So that's the plan. Just as we start, I've got a theory I'd like to share with you. I don't know how you could test this theory, so I can say it with great confidence. And my theory is this, that of all the words in the world, the word love is the most popular word in the title of songs. There are countless songs which talk about love. All you need is love. You've got the love. Came here for love. Love me tender. Love is the key. I'm sure we could go on and on. Whatever your favorite type of music, whatever your era of expertise, we could say, whatever you like, you will find there are tons of songs which speak about love. Love for people is a big deal. And this is a verse all about love, isn't it? And this is a verse about the greatest love of all. This is a verse about another love that countless songs have been written about, but a specific love. The love that stands really at the very heart of history, a love of eternal significance to all people. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. That love that Christ, that God himself has for us. And so our plan as we just look at this single verse and as we just do that briefly is to explore really three aspects of this amazing love that this verse tells us about. So just three things that we see about this love. And the first thing is the size of this love. The size and the scale of this love. You might have seen pictures back at the end of June of the HMS Queen Elizabeth sailing out of the dock at Versailles and under the three bridges at Queensferry and out into the North Sea. If you missed that, you can have a look at it when you get home. The HMS Queen Elizabeth is the biggest boat the Navy has ever made. And they reckon they'll probably never make another one that size. An enormous aircraft carrier. And you see it squeezing out underneath those bridges. Apparently, they had to wait until it was low tide so they would fit under the bridge. Apparently, if you stood on the highest point of the ship and stretched up, and you might have been a wee bit taller than I was, but you could have touched the bridge as you went underneath it. Either side of the boat, there were kind of inches to spare as it was navigated underneath those bridges. That's quite a responsibility for the person in charge of the most expensive boat the Navy's ever made. I wouldn't have fancied that myself. If you see me trying to park the car out on the road, you'll understand that would have been a bad idea. But it was vital in that situation that the captain knew the dimensions of this new boat, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that enormous vessel was. And really that is at the heart of what the Apostle Paul, who wrote this verse, who wrote this letter to the Ephesians, that is at the heart of what he wants people to know, the greatness, the size, the dimensions of Christ's love. How wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. But Paul's point as he gives those kind of dimensions, it is not that actually if we measure it we'll find its end. Oh, his love is this wide and then it stops. Or it's this high and then it gives up. But the point is that in all of these dimensions, that we will never find its end. And in the very next verse, Paul goes on to describe this love as surpassing knowledge. A love that is greater than we could ever know or imagine. And yet somehow, Paul wants us to strive to understand it, to grasp something of the size of this love. And why is it that that's so important for Paul? Why does Paul see that for God's people it is so important that they see how much God loves them? I think two reasons. And the first reason is this. It's so important that we know and strive to grasp the size of God's love. Because the world and the devil is trying to tell us the complete opposite. We've used it a few times at the front here in church, the Jesus Storybook Bible. We used it in some of the children's talks. But it's got this great description of back in Genesis chapter 3 when sin comes into the world. And it says this: from that moment, a terrible lie came into the world. It would never leave. It would live on in every human heart, whispering to every one of God's children, God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. That terrible lie that Satan brought into the world, that terrible lie that the world tries to tell us. And yet here Paul and the message of the whole Bible is saying that it's not true. God loves you, and God does not just love you a bit. God loves you an incredible amount. The incredible size of this love. And our prayer for the young guys at the Holiday Club, our prayer for people who are here this morning, if you've not accepted that, is that you would know the greatness of God's love for you. That you would recognize the inexhaustible size of that love. And if we have accepted that love, well, it's still our prayer. This is not a kind of a one-off thing. But our prayer is that for all of us, we will continue to see how vast that love is. God's love for us is the source and it is the motivation behind the whole of the Christian life, not just the beginning. We read elsewhere in the New Testament that we love because God first loved us. And so it's important that we know just how much God loved us. If we think God loved us a little, well then we'll love God a little and perhaps we'll love other people a little. But we need to grasp the greatness of God's love for us so that our love for him will be great. And we will have that confidence that he will never let us down. And we see the size of God's love. And we see this size most clearly when we look at the cross, don't we? We see the scale of this love as the Father sends the Son. And as the Son is willing to take on Himself that unimaginable punishment which we deserve, and yet which Christ took for us on the cross. And that is how wide and how long and how high and how deep Christ's love for us is. That it enabled Him to give everything for us. Paul wants us to grasp the size of this love so that we can have great confidence that He'll never let us down. And that we in turn will be willing to give everything back for Him. And so that's the first thing we see in this verse, the size of God's love. So great that Jesus would even die for us. And then the second thing that we see, I think, in this verse is really kind of the how. Well, how can we grasp how great this love is? How can we possibly understand this? You know, perhaps what we've just been talking about. You know, we've heard that before. But we know Jesus loved us that much. We know Jesus died for us. But we still struggle for that to kind of impact us in the way that we think and we know it should. Or perhaps for other people, we've told people about the love of Christ. We've told people the gospel. This amazing love, and yet it just seems like it doesn't make any difference. It just comes up against a brick wall. Now, how will people ever understand and respond? Well, the answer to this how question, I think, comes from noticing that this verse, in fact, this whole section in Ephesians, is a prayer. And I pray, Paul says. Now, Paul knows that we are not going to be able to get this, not going to be able to see this without God's help. It is only God who can give the power to understand the greatness of God's love. And that understanding there that Paul is talking about, it is not just a kind of something we know up here. It is not just knowing about God's love, but it's really experiencing it. It is really understanding it in a way that affects us and transforms us. Let me try and sort of illustrate this to you if I can. Let me give you a few facts about the Grand Canyon. I got these off the internet, so they must be true. But it's 277 miles long. At its widest point, the Grand Canyon is 18 miles across. It is over 1 mile deep. It is classed as one of the seven wonders of the natural world. And now, having given you those facts, I'm looking out, and if I was to describe your facial expressions, I would maybe go for mildly interested. If I was being generous, you know, people look, oh, well, that's interesting. These are, you know, fairly interesting facts. I could show you some pictures of the Grand Canyon, and maybe, oh, that does look good, very good. And yet, can you imagine the difference between that kind of nodding along, that kind of, okay, I believe that sort of head knowledge, and actually being there? How different to actually experiencing that, to looking out on that incredible landscape. Would that not take your breath away? Would that not set your pulse racing? Would that not really affect you in such a deep way? It's just a small picture of the difference between knowing about the greatness of Christ's love and having God give us the power to understand that love. For God to really open our eyes, for God to open the eyes of our family, of our friends, of our neighbors, just to what it is He's done and how much love that shows us. It's God that does this, and that is why we pray for others. That is why we pray for our community. That is why we have been praying and continue to pray for the young guys who came along to the holiday club, why we pray for their families. Because it is only God that can give the power to understand this in a way that will transform people. And so we pray for those who haven't yet experienced, haven't yet truly grasped the size of God's love. And yet we also continue to pray for ourselves. This isn't a one-off event once again. This is the Christian life. We pray as a church that we would continue to grow in that knowledge of the greatness of God's love. That's who Paul is writing this letter to a church, to people who put their trust in Jesus. And yet he prays that more and more and more God would open their eyes to help them see the greatness of Christ's love for them. And so we continue to pray that for ourselves. We continue to pray that for one another. We pray that God would never let us be comfortable with a smaller version of God. We pray that God would never let us come to the kind of to think we've fully grasped just how big God is, how much He loves us. But we pray that He would be constantly bowling us over. That time and time again we would be shocked at just how great God's love is for people who are so undeserving as us. We pray that we would see time and time again like a diamond, new facets, a new dimensions of this love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray that because we need God's help to enable us to understand that. This isn't something that we can do in our own strength. It's something that we rely on God for. And yet a prayer which God will graciously answer. And so we pray above everything else. Not for things, and not for comfort, not for what we would like to happen. But above all, our prayers are that God would give us a deeper understanding of Him and of His love for us, and that we might live in response to that love. And so we see in this verse the size of that love. We see that it is God Himself who enables us and who enables others to grasp, to understand that love. And finally, we see in this verse that this is a love which is seen and which is worked out in God's community, the church. This prayer is that together with all God's holy people, we would be able to grasp the size of this love. All of the yous in this verse and in this whole section are plural. This is not an individual pursuit. This is a letter which is written to a group, which is a letter which is written to a church. It is God who enables us to grasp the greatness of Christ's love, but He does that above all as we come together as His people, as we encourage one another, as we learn from the Bible together, as we see His love reflected by other people. One of the big themes of the whole book of Ephesians is the church. Paul will talk elsewhere about people being brought together and built up like living stones into a holy temple. God's holy people, as it says here, or the saints, as some Bible translations talk it, talking about those who have put their trust in Christ. They are not perfect people. We don't gather this morning with kind of bouncers on the door, checking that no one who has ever made a mistake sneaks in. We gather as in so many ways, kind of hopeless people. People who make mistakes time and time again. And yet, we gather as people who are brought together by God Himself, as His body, the church, here on earth. We gather as people who are brought together to grow in their understanding of God's love for us. To grow in our understanding of His love for us so that we can grow in our love for Him and our love for one another and our love for the world outside us. And that through this, as God's people grow together, as these living stones grow into a holy temple, that other people too are able to see the greatness of God's love. Let me just finish this morning by speaking once again about the Holiday Club and one of my personal highlights, I suppose, from the week that we've just had. Such a great encouragement for me to see these young guys coming in, some of whom have probably never set foot in a church before, certainly never been into our church before. And to see them not just learning in their group times, not just learning from the people at the front or at the times when we had our Bibles open, but also seeing what they've learned about the greatness of God's love. Seeing what they have learned being acted out by a team of people who are here for that very purpose of sharing His love with them. A group of people are doing what can only be described as ridiculous things. Things you would not choose to take a week off work to do. Things you would not do kind of anywhere else for the rest of the week, for the rest of the year. But things which are done in order to reflect Christ's love for these people. And it's such a great highlight for me to see these young people really be brought into a community which has been formed by God's love and is being shaped by God's love and has the purpose of sharing God's love. And I just think that's such a great picture of the church. That God doesn't call us to try and follow him or understand him more or live for him by ourselves. But we're to do this with all God's holy people, with all the saints. He brings us together as his body so that we can grow together in understanding the greatness of Christ's love for us. And that as we do that, other people are able to look in, other people are able to glimpse something of how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. And that they too may come to find Jesus Christ as their Savior. They too may come to accept that love for themselves. Now that is our prayer for us as a church, and that is our prayer for the community around us. So let's pray that together now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great love that you have shown us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that that love is inexhaustible, Lord, that we will never find its limits. We will never come to its end. We thank you that nothing can separate us from that love which is ours through Christ Jesus. Lord, we do ask, as we've just been reading in this prayer of Paul in Ephesians, we do ask that you would give us the power to understand that love better. To strive after grasping the sheer scale of that love. We pray as we continually see more and more just how vast that love is, that our love for you would grow in response, and that our love for others would grow also. Lord, we pray that that love would not just be inward looking, but it would shine out from this place and affect the community in which you've placed us. We pray that people would see your love in action. We pray that people would be encouraged to find out more about that love. We pray that you yourself again would give them the power to understand what Christ has done for them and the love that he has shown. Lord, we ask that you would do all of this for your glory, so that your name might be lifted high by ourselves as a church and by the community in which you put us. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.